Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveil Christ to the World broadcast. This week, we've been just sharing some meditations on the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yesterday's broadcast, we sort of focused on the experiences of the two disciples that were on their way to their home in Emmaus and the events that occurred and the excitement that thrilled their soul when they discovered it really was Jesus and He was alive. So let's now look at this joyful reunion that occurred. As we see in Luke, the 24th chapter, they rushed back. I mean, that was 10 miles. They had gone 10 miles, met the Lord. He walked on the way with them. They constrained Him to come and have a meal because the day was far spent. And then when Jesus disappeared, they of course recognized Him as He broke bread. Then they went all the way back to Jerusalem. That was like 20 miles in one day. Think about that. That was, of course, they were in much better shape, beloved. They were used to walking everywhere. They didn't have cars then. Anyway, can you imagine the excitement? It was probably as nothing to, they could hardly wait to get back to the disciples. But in verse 36, and as they thus spoke, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and said, saith unto them, peace be unto you. So just as the disciples in Luke's account of the disciples that had lived in Emmaus were coming and relating all this to the apostles, there were the 10 of the disciples that had gathered in their meeting place somewhere in Jerusalem. Obviously, we know from scriptures that Thomas was absent because he wasn't there when Jesus first appeared. The doors and the windows were carefully barred. Why? Because there was fear of reprisal from the Jewish leaders. They were in fear of their lives. They'd seen their Messiah, their Christ. The unthinkable occurred. He was crucified. He was killed. Their cause was totally lost, it seemed. The lives of all the followers of the crucified one were in jeopardy. Peter and John, in great excitement, were reporting what they'd seen at the tomb that very morning. Neither had as yet seen the Lord in person, but doubtless John was telling the position of the grave clothes and of his own heart confidence that Jesus was in fact alive. Peter was not absolutely sure. It might be that he was remembering the depths of the sin of his denial of Jesus, and so he could not give way to such joy as that possibility would bring to his heart. But think about this. All at once, there was a knock at the door. The two friends of Emmaus were there. Their faces were wreathed with joy. They were just filled with excitement. They were wild with the thrill that they'd actually seen Jesus. They poured forth the news of the Lord's appearance to them. Here was further evidence from very eyewitnesses to the fact that He had risen. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there? Then, at that moment, appearing instantly in their midst was the Lord Jesus Himself. And some of the group were absolutely terrified. They believed Him to be a spirit manifestation. But don't you love how gracious, how loving the Lord was to them? The Lord left no doubt. His first words were words of peace to their disturbed hearts. Peace be unto you. They were terrified and affrighted. Verse 37, and suppose they'd seen a spirit. And He said unto them, why are ye troubled? And why do your thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet. It's It's me, myself. Handle me. Touch me. See. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. Praise God. And so he invited them to just actually handle him, make sure that that it really was in fact Jesus, as he had done so many times before. The Lord then opened his lips to teach them. He asked them why they were so troubled, why they did not believe it was he. He showed them his hands and his side. He assured them a spirit didn't have flesh and bones as he did, and he invited them to just touch him. But even with these reassurances, they still could hardly believe for joy. So then the Lord asked for food, not that he really needed any, but he had eaten with them so many times during the nearly 4 years of their companionship. So they gave him a piece of fish and a piece of honeycomb, and while they watched with adoring eyes, he ate it before them. Yes, it was indeed their precious master, Jesus, alive from the dead. Praise God. He had gifts for them now, spiritual gifts, among which was a special understanding of the Old Testament scriptures. Now, a new season was to begin. They must begin their new mission. They must understand what the law, the Psalms, and the prophets had declared concerning him. There was another meeting, too. Just a week later, they gathered in the very same place. And this time, Thomas, who even with all the others urging him to believe, he still doubted. Imagine that. The disciples said, hey, you know, we saw the Lord. He was with us. He ate with us. But Thomas still didn't believe them. And so the Lord appears again, and he invites Thomas to examine his wounds. And so finally, Thomas believes as well. Let's read that in John, the 20th chapter. I'll start reading at verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Remember, this is the second time. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. And then can you imagine the drama of that moment? He turns directly to Thomas and says, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Beloved, that's true of you and I and all the multitudes, the generations that didn't have never seen the Lord Jesus Christ. But because of the testimony of the disciples, these words which are written on pages, the holy anointed scriptures, the Bible that God has given us, we now believe. Verse 30 says, And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. And we also know from Scripture there was yet another meeting in Galilee, which at some point in time, there were 500 of Christ's disciples who were present, and the greater part of them were still living 20 years later. We see this recorded. Paul spoke of that in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse 6. Well, let me go back just a little bit. Let's go read verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, and then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above, more than, 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. Of course, that's a reference to his encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. So we see that there were eyewitnesses. So they don't give many, but there were like 500 that saw the living Christ, and they were still alive at the time of this writing. So this is an amazing testimony that it's impossible to refute that there were many eyewitnesses to the actual resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But as we go on to consider the events of those powerful few days that Jesus was with his disciples before he ascended, we know that after his resurrection, the Lord began another type of relationship with his disciples. It wasn't exactly the same as it was before. He didn't go back to an itinerary about the country. Rather, as we see from Scripture, he just kind of came and went. He appeared, he disappeared. And probably, can you imagine, the disciples were a little bit confused as to just what the future may have held for them. But there's one occasion that is recorded in the Gospel of John, and we don't have time, but we're going to be looking at that tomorrow in the 21st chapter of John, where seven of the disciples were in Galilee, and it was probably Peter who suggested they go on a fishing trip. So we're going to look at that tomorrow, and I hope that you can join me. But at this moment, I just want to bring this broadcast to a close. I want to thank you so much for listening. You see, in partners, how grateful I am to the Lord for your faithful prayer support, for your generous financial giving, which allows us to remain on this station and to continue forward in all the outreaches of Unveil Christ. What a testimony to the Lord that we have been a daily radio broadcast ministry continuously since 1965. Thank you so much for all that you do. God bless you. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.